passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
A lot happening on Capitol Hill today. You may have noticed up and down the news channels, but either the most comical or tragic, I'm not sure, I want to go Shakespeare here, was occurring in a hearing that our next guest covered, Pete Nakos, joining us. Pete, thank you very much. Take us through the day on Capitol Hill. Good afternoon.
Well, they tried to elect a speaker, and yeah, Charlie Baker had some time on the Hill as well. The 10th legislative hearing on NIL in college sports since 2020 didn't get us much further. It's very clear that Baker, Big Ten Commissioner Tony Petitti, and Notre Dame Athletic Director Jack Swarbrick are extremely concerned about the NCAA's court cases on athletes possibly being called employees, and that's where things stand, Paul. A lot of concern about that from the NCAA and what that could mean for the model going forward.
And Pete, I understand the concern. I know you do. I mean, these are weighty and very difficult issues. But I just wonder, as you sat there now countless times, are they moving the ball down the field? Are they any closer, or are they simply about to run into a major buzzsaw, which is called politics in the election year?
I think that they are running into it if they haven't run into it yet. Just talking with a lot of stakeholders more and more, right? And it remains really clear that politicians want to hear about it. Right, Ted Cruz is a big Texas fan, as he reminded everyone today. But that doesn't mean that they're going to make the time to craft the bill and ensure that it makes it to the floor for a vote. If they haven't run into it yet, the NCAA may have even been sacked. I don't know. We'll see how it all plays out, but there's a lot going on all across the world right now. And just hard to believe that, Congress is going to make time to prioritize college sports.
And so much of it was made, and not to pick on him, but he is pretty prominent. So much was made out of Charlie Baker, the new NCAA president. And, you know, we were together a couple of months ago and heard him speak, and you've heard him speak countless times, including today. And I just wonder, what is he accomplishing, Pete?
I think that he's done a really nice job of bringing a politician's view to the NCAA. And I think it's worth giving Charlie Baker credit for. He's definitely handled this all better than Mark Emmert would have. And he knows how to work DC and all that. But I mean, I think he's really just facing a really massive uphill battle. He's stepping in, the final hour, right? This is not some battle he started a decade ago. He stepped in, 3 years now into NIL almost. These courts could soon classify athletes as employees, which would definitely turn the amateur model on its head. And yeah, I think Charlie Baker's done the best that he can in this situation. But at the same time, he's obviously still really pushing forward that NCAA mindset.
But at some point, Pete, do you think they need to change the approach? Because it just doesn't seem like anything is happening here. And time, according to everyone, is running out.
Yeah, I mean, I think they have started to slowly change their approach, right? The Division I Council proposed 4 new items earlier this month. I think they're starting to make that pivot, but they're not fully there yet. Just wrote a story about this at On3. They're at a crossroads yet again. And they need to make a decision to choose to enforce their NIL policy and make the most of it. And that's going to be the only thing to save the NCAA model at this point, is they got to give up on Congress and they got to enforce what they can and not continue to show up in D.C. and beg for a mandate that's never going to come.
And I wonder, and I'm really curious, you know, where you come down on this. All the comments that were made today, and there were a lot that were said in public, and some were said to reporters. But the one that really got me was this Joe Manchin line. Everybody knows Joe Manchin, the senator from West Virginia, very powerful former governor who probably was responsible for keeping Rich Rodriguez at West Virginia instead of going to Alabama. And which ended up paving the way for Nick Saban, and he is Nick Saban's best friend. All of that is irrelevant to this question. He said this today: it's getting hard to root for the kids when they're multimillionaires as freshmen and sophomore. That's a great statement, but it shows a disconnect, does it not, Pete, between what's really happening?
I could not have said it better myself, Paul. Yeah, such a huge disconnect. And I mean, you look at what's going across the country, there's more parity right now in college football, thanks to NIL and the transfer portal. And just even going off that more, I mean, I don't have a problem watching college football knowing that Caleb Williams, the reigning Heisman Trophy winner, has cashed in because he has a huge platform. I don't have a problem knowing that Shador Sanders sells plenty of apparel because he's done a great job marketing himself next to his father. Do you have a problem doing that, Paul? I know I don't.
No, I don't. And I wonder, yeah, though, Pete, you know, you get guys that are in their 70s making statements like that, and you can look at Joe Manchin and draw your own opinion. But it's not where it's at right now. You know, we talked to a young offensive lineman today from Alabama. He's out making money doing interviews. He's out. We don't pay here, by the way. But good for him. It doesn't bother me one bit. And I'm watching the game on Saturday like you are, like 10 million other people, and having a blast. And I just wonder if they're driving a bigger wedge between the elite, the people that sit in the president's box and in the ivory towers versus those young men and women, in many cases, on the field, who are, for the first time, finally being able to make something for their efforts.
Right, right. And it's part of the reason now, right? We continue to hear about it a little bit more, but the revenue sharing could be right around the corner. And you know why that is? Because there's some really big conference realignment this summer. There's a lot of large TV deals. And athletes are going to want a portion of that pie, too. It took them long enough to be able to profit off their name, image, and likeness. And now, with college football playoff expansion and bigger TV deals, revenue sharing is not going to be far away, whether the NCAA likes it or not.
So let me ask you about something Jack Swarbrick said today, the very respected but outgoing Notre Dame athletic director. He talked about collective bargaining. What did you hear from him, and what does this mean?
Yeah, all credit to Ross Dellinger. He went and got that story. I was just reading his story before I jumped on with you. But, yeah, I mean, collective bargaining, I mean, that would definitely be interesting. But as Jack told Ross, he wouldn't want to collective bargain with athletes if they're employees. He still wants them not to be employees. So I don't know if I could really wrap my head around that, right? Collective bargaining in the professional sports leagues, I mean, they're all employees, so I don't know how that would come to be if an athlete wasn't an employee, but definitely a step in the right direction that some of these administrators realize that the amateur model that's existed for so long is outdated.
Fantastic stuff, Pete. You are literally on the vanguard of this at On3, and when you read that site of that you contribute to, it's completely different because it really does represent where the action is and where the players are that are profiting from this, and I just think whether you like it or not, it's the reality of today.
100%. Thanks so much, Paul. Thanks for letting me back on again and chat soon.
Pete, always a pleasure. Pete Nekos joining us from On3. He covers the world of college and business, and that's a very busy platform right now. We will take a break. It's been a busy show. Still time for you to get in, and we will get to your calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back here on a Tuesday afternoon. Let's continue with more phone calls. Legend is next.
Woo! What's going on, my black hat, brother? What's up, baby?
We are doing great.
Awesome, man. Hey, Paul, I'd like to talk to you about two tight ends, if I could, okay?
Okay.
First one is Brock Bowers. Paul, can I get an update? Can I get an update on Brock Paul? What's the update, Paul? Can we get an update for the Georgia fans, Paul? Can we get an update? Can we get an update? Here's the update, Georgia fans. Shut the hell up. Y'all didn't want to hear about John Metchie when he had 14 catches against you, and your cornerbacks are crying in the SEC title game. We can't guard him. We can't guard him. Oh, y'all didn't want to hear about that. That didn't matter at all in the national championship game. Y'all didn't want to hear about Jameis Williamson. Y'all didn't want to hear about him. Yeah, he was wide open running down the middle of the field when the 50-yard line tripped him up and injured him. The football gods finally smiled on your wilderness wandering ass. Y'all didn't want to hear about it. So shut the hell up. We don't want to hear about it. Don't want to hear about it. Next man up, shut the hell up. Now, Paul, the second tight end I want to talk about is Jason Kelce. What's your opinion of Jason Kelce, Paul?
Jason Kelce?
Yes, sir.
Very impressive.
Well, I want to tell you, if I see one more commercial about Jason Kelce, I am going to vomit uncontrollably all over the legend cave. I am so sick of seeing Jason Kelce. I like you as a tight end dude, but if I see you buck chest, a little weasel dude that looks like Augie from New Orleans where the streets smell like urine, if I see you do that one more time and rub your chest like you hurt, I'm going to vomit. I hate you, dude. And I loved you as a tight end, but now I can't stand you. Every damn commercial, you can't. I will try to watch the Cowboy game last night, and every damn commercial, Jason Kelce bumping chest with this little weasel that looks like Augie. I mean, I can't stand it, dude. The truth is, your girlfriend's too skinny. She's a 5, and I'm already sick of seeing your ass. Sick of being a damn tight end. You got no future in Hollywood. Now I'd like to say this, Paul, right here, about Tennessee week.
Okay.
You know what time it is, Tennessee? You stuck that damn goalpost in the river. You celebrated for the first time in 15 years. Paul came out of the coffin like Dracula and got you all over the top. But here's the reality. Joe Milton is no handed hooker. Not even close. And you know it deep down. You know he ain't. That was an illusion last year in the bowl game. Hell, Buckner had a great bowl game. They don't care in them damn bowl games. This is the real Joe Milton. And listen, we know who Alabama is. You know who I compare Alabama to, Paul? One of them old Oakland Raiders team with Ken Stabler. You know, they couldn't run the ball, and eventually they just say to hell with it. Bombs away to Cliff Branch. Bombs away to Bliff McCall. Goes to the post to Dave Casper. That's the way Alabama is, baby. We just bomb away 3 or 4 times a game like the old Oakland Raiders. But we got a defense, Joe Milton, and we're going to take that goalpost and stick it in your nose and raise you to the top like a flag this weekend, Tennessee. You can bet that right there. And let me say this. Jim from Tuscaloosa, great call today. But even a better call on Friday. Somebody asked me, why didn't you get in the ring and beat the hell out of Michael Bratton on Friday, legend? I said, hell. Ric Flair was in the locker room about to come out, and Dusty Rhodes ran out there and whooped the hell out of the fucking kid out there. That's pathetic, Michael Bratton. Jim beat the hell out of you. The old Jim come alive and beat the hell out of you. I liked it, Jim. I liked it. We may be enemies, but I had to give credit where credit's due. You just sit there like a fool taking it, Michael Bratton. You know Brando. You can bet your ass on that. And before I get out of here, for a real black hatter that I love, that I was listening to for everybody, let me end with this. Tuesday's gone with the wind. Aubrey and Jimbo is in the garbage bin. Elvis has left the building.
wonder, I've never thought a thought like this, but just for the sake of argument, let's say up there in Tribeca, Taylor Swift is sitting around tonight going through the dial, and she ends up on this program and finds out that she's actually dating Jason Kelce as opposed to Travis Kelce. Anyway, Derek is up next in California. How are you, Derek?
Oh, fine, Paul. How you doing today?
We're doing well. Thank you. I thought of you the other night. How'd you enjoy the game?
Oh, man, I enjoyed the game. We actually had a chance to go down. We had about 20 in our party, family members and all. And, you know, it took in the cuisine that was around the around the city. The boudin, man, it's some good stuff. And, you know, went to the game and all. And then the fans were so loving, I guess you could say, I would say, because everybody was nice. I had a great time right there. And that was my first time actually, you know, going to the stadium itself. Watched a lot of it on TV, but coming from Cali, going down there, it was an experience, a real great experience, actually. And
I'm really
I just
glad
wanted
to
say thanks to all the fans that I had met, and we took pictures, and we actually did the Tiger Walk. Now, the Tiger Walk is when they walk down to go into the locker room before the game and all, and when Jaden came over and, you know, gave us all a hug and all, everybody wanted to know, who are these guys? Why are they getting the hugs?
That's funny.
And they wanted pictures, too, so a few of them got a few pictures in, but, you know, he had to go into the locker room for the game. But I had a real nice experience down there, and I really enjoyed it. So, you know, kudos to LSU and their fans.
Well, that is fantastic. So this week, Army, and then the off week, and then Bama. That's going to be something to behold.
Yeah, that's the game you and I talked about. You was like, that'll make them or break them. So, I just want to say that LSU is going to whoop him again, you know. Jalen Rose ain't got – he don't have nothing on my nephew. So he's going to be a really good game. And, you know, Tiger fans keep praying on it. You know, we're going to go all the way to the top. We all hang together.
Well, Derek, great to hear from you. And let's hear from you again. That's Jaden's uncle, Derek, who we've become friends with. I-Man is up next.
Well, Lordy, Mr. Paul Feinbaum, how are you doing today?
You're doing great.
You know, I've been sitting back listening to your program, and you got these A&M fans calling up. I've been a fan. I got tickets. I know everybody. And I'm just disgusted. We're not getting what we want. You know, and Kentucky. Well, here we are again. We, it's got to be Stoops. You know, Paul, I mean, when do all these people, and I really appreciate their tension, if you will, because I find it comedic as hell, especially from a guy like Legend. You know, he's going to kick everybody's butt because Alabama got beat by Texas. And then they beat nobody, and, oh, he's happy, man. We back, we got defense. But I like listening to these people because it's kind of like doing a study of people. And I, I'm not getting what I deserve. It's entertainment. It's extracurricular activity. And because these guys are going out there playing football and you're sitting on your butt on the couch eating your damn nachos, and I got investments in this. I got a hat and a T-shirt. You hear me? I got to have something to brag about at work. And then they come on your program and cry because they deserve more. But I was just listening to Legend. He's talking about they got a defense. Okay, Alabama moved in, what, they tied for number 10? Only, not on the strength of an Alabama win, but on the strength of a USC ass-whooping did they only move up. And they got them tied with Texas. Is that correct? How does that work out when Texas beat them straight up? But we got defense. Oh, whoa, we got defense. But didn't talk at all about, you know, the Alabama offense. And he's pointing a lot of fingers at Tennessee. We ain't got this and you ain't got that. Well, you know what? When you get your ass whooped in your own stadium, what's he going to be talking about come Monday? We got to get rid of Reese Cup. And you know what? I don't have a top five or anything like that, but I do have a top one. Is Legend the only man that you know of that's actually come on this program and bragged about the fact that he's looking down at Nick Saban dripping on him? Have a good day.
David is up next. Hello, David.
Hey, Paul. Hard to follow our man. I mean, but you know, I'm very disappointed, Legend. I mean, Jason, Travis. It's not hard to figure out, but you know, when you meet your hopefully best personality on your show and they just fail you, it's horrible. I mean, it just hurts. But anyway, my question was, Paul, I mean, if you're Georgia's player tight end and you're his advisor or parent, why would you not shut him down? I mean, does it really matter? I mean,
well,
just...
I think what you have to, I mean, you know, I don't mind you going for the aggressive surgery and leaving the door open. But I don't think you can make a decision. I mean, we had a guest on a couple hours ago, Rusty Mansell, who felt like he could be back for the Tennessee game. I'm not that optimistic because I think you have to really be sure. The one thing I have heard about this, though, I remember talking to some of the physicians that were involved in Tagovailoa's surgery, and they kept telling me, it's not like some other things where you have to be worried about injuring it. In fact, they argue, and I know I'm getting out of my expertise, which is not really anything, but they argue that the surgery strengthens the ankle so that the danger of having an issue with it is not the same as if I twisted my ankle or whatever and went to the ER and they said, hey, you know, stay off your feet for a couple of weeks. This is a totally different situation.
And I agree 100%, Paul. I mean, I think Jalen Hurts actually had that surgery as well. But at the same time, I mean, when you're a top five,
what do you have
to prove? I mean, you've won two national championships. You are the best player. In my opinion, I agree with all the callers. I mean, I don't agree with next year but this year.
But David, what's hard for the two of us to understand is this is one of a fierce competitor. He's part of something very special. He's at the epicenter of that team. And I think the real decisions come later. They don't come right now. I'm guessing
he's probably got some
people in his ear saying, I know, if I were representing him, I would tell him, you know, do everything you can to rehabilitate, which is essential. But let's talk about the decision later on.
I agree, Paul, and I'll get your next guess, but I agree 100%. I mean, you did whatever you can do for the University of Georgia, and if Kirby, and I don't think the university would behold him or fault him if he did that. And I mean,
no, they wouldn't. But David, the other argument, I think, and if you're Brock Bowers, you're part of something that is it's going to be, you know, assuming they win three in a row, that's going to be remembered forever. I would want to be part of it, but I would also make sure that I got the best available advice, which he will. And I think the guy that will be the most difficult to deal with for him is Kirby Smart. Kirby Smart does not want to go. He does not want something terrible to happen, and that's always a risk. Coaches don't like that. I mean, they're competitors. They're human beings, but they also know that they can't afford to rush somebody back. And Kirby has always been the antithesis of that. We'll take a short break. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back. Final 30 minutes of our program. Let's check in with AJ up next.
Every rose has its thorn. And all I can hear is every Georgia Bulldog is sitting in there crying and mourning, Paul. Paul, I've been sitting there listening for over 3 hours, and all I hear is a bunch of cries about Brock Bowers. I mean, the bottom line is this, Georgia. Brock is in the injured reserve shower, and your three-peat is obsolete. And that's a fact, Jack. You can take that to Larry's bank deposit. But I'm going to tell you this, too. Paul, did I hear a guy earlier, correct me if I'm wrong, but there was a gentleman that called, he said he was AJ from Atlanta.
I believe I heard that, yes.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something, AJ from Atlanta. You take your ass down there to the courthouse in the morning in downtown Atlanta and you change your damn name. There ain't but one AJ. And he's in the Collar Hall of Fame, baby. And that's a fact on that, Jack. You call in here tomorrow and talk about I'm an AJ from no Atlanta. There ain't but one AJ, and he's from Pell City, Alabama. And Jim, I see you done picked that lock in that round room, that little padded room I put you in. You done picked that lock. I see. You got out. But that's all right, because I've been needing something to scream and shout about anyway. War damn eagle.
Always a highly intellectual call. Danny is in Georgia. Hello, Danny.
Hey, I want to say there is no whining coming from Georgia about Brock Bowers. You know what? We're going to miss him. There is no doubt whatsoever. But you know what? It's next man up. And there might be a guy or two from Georgia who just isn't on board with it. But you know what? That is what it is. But for the most part, most people from Georgia understand that you don't have to be like Ohio. You don't have to be like Alabama, where you cry about losing a guy. What it is that you have to build a roster who can sustain over an entire season. And you know what? We're going to miss him. There's no doubt. But we have to have other guys who step up, and that is what it is.
Thank you so much. A lot of Brock Bowers conversation. JD is in Birmingham. Hello, JD.
Hello, Paul. Thank you for taking my call. I had a question for you. I've heard Hugh Freeze say that when he was at Ole Miss, one of the hardest offenses he ever had to go against was Nick Marshall and that bunch from 13.
Right.
And then he goes to Liberty, and he's got a quarterback in Malik Willis that pretty well runs that similar type of offense, spread read and all that. And kind of had my hopes up as him coming in as the head coach at Auburn that he had a guy like Robbie Ashford that maybe was going to have the program going in that kind of direction, especially after Cadillac showed him how well we could actually run the football last year without a throwing game for the last part of the season. And I was just kind of curious to get your take on any of that. I ain't going to keep you held up too long, and I appreciate you taking my call. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah, I think we're about to see Robbie Ashford a lot more. Dog is in Louisiana. Hello, Dog.
Hey, Brother Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Look here. Tell Elvis that left the building that Georgia has never relied on one player like Alabama has. What we do is next player up. I mean, I love Brock Bowers, but the problem is we've got some more tight ends that's been doing pretty dang good. And the thing is, we're not going to – look at the last scores of last 2 years that we won national championships. We've never beaten nobody by a bunch of points. We just win by one if we can. And that's – did you see Kirby Smart the other day? What did he say? Next player up.
Sure, that's
you know what I mean?
Says.
Did you see any stress in his voice?
Well, but listen, I mean, some of this is a little bit of being defensive. Everybody agrees that Georgia has a deep roster, but I have yet to hear anybody say any of those players can do what Brock Bowers has done. That's not even the issue. He is a unique, one-of-a-kind player, and we're not going to know, but I do know what Brock Bowers has done at crunch time. And it is better than anyone else on that team. Not to disagree with your premise. I mean, Georgia's loaded. Everybody knows that. But if we're acting like this is not a serious thing, then I think, and you know, by quoting Kirby Smart saying next man up, then we're losing sight of what the real issue is. We will take a break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.